Hey, everybody. I'm C.
I'm Jen.
And you're listening to Tom Tit and Baobab.
Welcome back to Tom Tit and Baobab, the New York Times Spelling Bee-inspired podcast that's all about words, word games, and the word nerds who love them.
Jen, it's our final episode of the season and the year.
I know. And last week, you said that you wanted to do a best of the bee for 2023.
Oh, I did. Any chance you made a list?
Well, fortunately, Leslie, our friend, did the work for me and sent us a list of her favorite pangrams of the year.
Thank you, Leslie.
Yes, thank you, Leslie. So I thought we could start from that and rank them in order of bestness.
Okay. Can I rank bestness the worst?
No, you cannot, because it is not a pangram.
Yeah, it's also not a word, Jen.
Anyway, we are only ranking goodness, not worstness. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. The words are, I'm just going to read them, and then we're going to like put them in
order.
This
is from Leslie. Leslie said these are her favorite pangrams of the year, and we thought, okay, let's go for it.
Yeah, she actually sent us more than 10, and I cut it down to 10.
Oh, so you picked your 10 favorites from her list of 40. I love it.
Yeah. All right. And now we're going to order them.
Got it.
Okay. The words are alchemy, anticlimactic, garbanzo, ooh, hot dogging, caboodle, checkmate, pompadour, potbelly, chimichanga, and dive bomb.
Ooh.
So what's number 10?
Ooh. Okay. I don't think I can actually do like a rank like this, but I can talk about these words and tell you what words like jump out. First of all, I did not remember that dive bomb was one of the pangrams, and that is hysterical. And I love it. I also love anticlimactic because, you know, it just sounds cool. And it's one of those words that like everybody knows, but you still sound cool when you say
absolutely
it. Anticlimactic.
This will not be an anticlimactic last episode.
Exactly. And then I don't know what I want to say about hot dogging because it's funny. Mm-hmm. I like it as like the ski images in my head. I also remember when that was the pangram. I think I only got it with hints from you and Leslie. So it's kind of a ridiculous story. You know what?
Since you refuse to rank, I want to start by saying that at the bottom of this list, I would put checkmate.
Checkmate? Is that because I always checkmate you and you get really unhappy?
Yes, that's why. Because I am terrible at chess.
Have we ever played chess?
You and I?
Yeah.
I am like the worst chess player on the planet.
I'm also not a good chess player, though, at
all. You already beat me at everything.
No, I'm just one. I know. I checkmate you at life, but I'm trying to figure out. Anyway, caboodle. I really like caboodle. That might be on my top two. Caboodle. Kit and.
But yes. I love the word alchemy.
So I like alchemy. I agree it's a good word. I don't love it as the pangram.
Well,
I'm sorry. It's too easy. It's a perfect.
That's true.
Is it a perfect? No, it's close to a perfect.
It's not a perfect?
No, it is a perfect. Okay, that was
waffly. But doesn't that make it perfect? Okay,
I don't know. And pot belly, I don't love either. Pot belly?
Because you don't like people to have a pot belly? What about a pot belly?
I have no problem with pot bellies.
Ooh, pot belly
and pot belly pigs.
And pot belly pigs.
Yeah. But, you know, it also reminds me of that, like, weird chain pot bellies. It's just not that exciting a word.
That's how I thought about checkmate.
Chimichanga.
Chimichanga is so good. Garbanzo, yeah. I think, is less good.
Oh, I like garbanzo, but I also like garbanzo beans.
But I don't.
Yeah, but you're wrong.
Pompadour. Pompadour is pretty close to my top, I think, of this 10.
Pompadour is really good. I mean, it has the image. Yeah. It sounds like the word it is for some reason in my head.
It's a fun
word.
Like,
pompadour.
fun to say. It's fun to look at.
But isn't chimichanga also fun to say?
Chimichanga is so good. Chimichanga might be number one.
Though caboodle is also fun to say. Oh, Jen, you can't rank.
Okay, wait. I'm ranking. Are you ready for this?
All right, quick.
Okay. 10 is checkmate. 9 is garbanzo. 8 is hot dogging. 7 is dive bomb. 6 is pot belly. 5 is alchemy. 4 is anticlimactic. 3 is caboodle. 2 is pompadour. And 1 is, say it with me, C.
Chimichanga! All right, Jen, I really appreciate that. And since I got something I wanted in this intro, in the spirit of holiday giving, I feel like you should get something too.
Oh, no. What is it?
All right. So against my better judgment, I'm going to agree to try to sing one of Tim's limericks.
Yay! That makes me so happy.
All right, but that means you have to sing too.
Of course.
So we didn't talk about how we were going to sing this or what we were going to do. But yeah. You gave me two choices of limericks here. And yeah. One of them is from bee to shining bee, which would sound like, well, we could just use that tune, but we really can't.
Well, let's try that one.
The tomtits developed a notion to flutter from ocean to ocean, transversing the nation. Through shit. No, you
that
can't
is not
do that.
Working. That's awful. Okay, everybody, this is limerick number 628 from Bee to Shiny Bee, which Tim Alborn published on September 21st, 2023. And it is about the tomtit. So I do think it is an appropriate choice.
And if we said it would be, the tomtits developed a notion to flutter from ocean to ocean, traversing the nation through sheer motivation, perpetual avian motion. Does that count?
The tomtits developed a notion to flutter from ocean to ocean, traversing the nation through sheer motivation, perpetual avian motion.
Perfect. That was great. It was the best breath control like your singing teacher taught you. Excellent work, Jen. I think I just tricked you into singing a limerick. I'm very happy about it.
You did. And I think we should give Tim a gift because he has provided us with much fun these past few episodes.
A gift? Like a chia bee?
Yeah. Again, New York Times. Everyone wants a chia bee. But no. Tim was a bit disappointed, see, that we only sang five verses of his nearly 12 Tangrams of Christmas last week.
He wasn't more disappointed that we tried to sing any of them?
That's what I said. I was like, we were trying to spare you the trauma. But I was thinking that this episode we could sing the rest for him.
All right. You guys are insane, but let's do it. Maybe at the end of the show so no one else has to listen if they don't want to. Anyway, we got to get a move on.
All right, deal.
It's time for the Week in Bees. This is the part of the show where we talk about bees from the previous week. Today, we're starting with Saturday, December 9th, and ending with Friday, December 15th. Oh my God, how is it Friday, December 15th? I'm freaking out. Jen, amazing week, gloomy week, unruly week. Give me your thoughts.
All good words that were in the bee this week. But first things first, I appreciated the winter holiday word dropping from Sam this week. So we had Gelt for Hanukkah on 12/9 and Magi for Christmas on 12/13. And now I am holding out hope that we're going to see Ujima in the bee before the year is out.
What's Ujima, Jen?
It's one of the seven principles of Kwanzaa, and it means collective work and responsibility. And it has been explicitly disallowed from two solution sets in 2021 and 2022. Let's get Kwanzaa in the mix. Any standouts for you, C?
Yeah. On Saturday, the pangram, etymology.
Etymology.
Awesome.
Awesome.
How fun was that?
It was totally fun. I can't say that the other ologies were that fun.
I was really proud of myself. Jen, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I got all the ologies on my own, not even having to look anything up.
Including otology?
Yeah. Including teleology. And I knew that they didn't include oology, but I kept trying it.
I kept trying oology too.
I was just so proud of myself because when I saw it, I was like, oh, it's going to be one of these things that's going to drive me crazy. Mm-hmm. And instead, I just like went through in my head and I got them and I was happy.
Very good. I'm proud of you too.
Thank you. How about you? What else did you like or not like?
Well, that day, there was Motley.
Motley is always good because it reminds you of Motley Fool.
Oh, I was going to say it reminds me of Motley Crue.
Oh, some of us have grown up from the 80s and some of us have not. My husband sent me a Motley Fool article this morning about Costco paying out dividends. Yeah. And I think your fake husband sent you a Motley Crue, music mix this morning. So
what?
I was just making up like the difference in what our husbands would be.
You made me so happy
to think of you having a husband sending you like Motley Crue mixes.
If I had a husband and he didn't send me a Motley Crue mix, I would be really disappointed.
There you go. See?
But, you know, I appreciate your husband's commitment to Costco.
Thanks.
Which I have said many times is a very good company.
Yes, that's what he was saying. He was trying to convince me that he should be allowed back. But
Anyway. You mean he's been banned from Costco?
Didn't I tell you this?
Yes, I know this. On Tuesday 12/12, though, there was no bannable.
Yeah.
Don't you think there should be bannable?
I mean, it's the problem with all of those. They all should be, right?
It should be an inalienable right that we can put able on the end of any word that we want to.
Yes. Do you know I didn't get inalienable? And when I saw it later, I was like, oh, inalienable. What a great word. Well, okay. So like you and like everyone in the world, this is a very busy week.
Yes.
And so many days I quickly in the morning got to Genius and then walked away. And actually only yesterday, Thursday the 14th, did I actually make some attempt to like go back and pay attention.
Yeah.
Because it was relatively short and I was like, come on. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, on the rest of the week, when I looked the next day at the words I didn't get, they were words like vain or vine.
Inalienable.
You know, and inalienable. But you know what I mean? Like they were really stupid words. And it was just that I didn't, like I got to Genius and then it was like, I have no time for this, you know?
Yeah. Wait, but, can I tell you something?
Yes.
12/10 Sunday.
Oh, Halcyon.
I think I forgot to do the B that day.
Oh, what? All together? And you missed Halcyon?
Yeah.
Were you so mad when you saw that?
I was so mad. I might have like started it and put in like two words or something while I was walking the dog, but I had got a text message on Monday from Simon and he was like, Cole Cannon, blah, blah, blah. He was like complaining about words.
Which is always in there.
I know. That's what I said to him. Oh, and cloaca. And I was like, dude, you need to listen to the podcast. We talk about these words all the time. Anyway, then I started thinking to myself, wait, what? That was going to be this week. And then when I went to put together all of the lists from this week, which, you know, I do for every show, I got onto Sunday and I was like, I don't recognize this puzzle at all.
That's a bummer because Halcyon's a really good pangram. It could have even been my list of favorite pangrams.
I was really – that's never happened to me before. I think I'm losing my mind.
So you know what I thought was interesting on 12/12 Tuesday – there were two words there, both of which I got, but one word I realized I didn't really know what it was.
Okay.
And the words are V-E-N-A-L, venal, and venial, V-E-N-I-A-L. Mm-hmm. And I think you know what both of these things are.
Yes.
I think I just thought they were kind of the same word. I thought they both kind of meant bad. Like, legitimately, that's as much as I really thought about either word. But they have such different meanings. And venial, I don't know anything about, and I'm kind of surprised it's in there. So for those of you who don't know, venal is showing or motivated by susceptibility to bribery. So Donald Trump, venal.
Very
they should just have
venal.
A picture, right? Yes. Actually, if you had asked me, I thought that venal was more like sexual, right?
Oh, interesting.
I just think vena, I don't know, body. But I didn't realize that it comes from the French vend and it's, you know, it's actually very specifically a money word. So I thought that was interesting. Venial. So I'm not Christian, people. And I don't know about venial sins. So is this something you knew about?
Yes.
So venial is of a kind that can be remitted, forgivable, pardonable. But it's really like an archaic Christian term.
Yeah. It's not a mortal sin.
Right.
It's like a little sin.
Yeah, exactly. Which makes me laugh that there are little sins. Yes.
Well, you know that there was probably some like Pope sitting around going, you know, this is a sin, but since I did it, I'm going to get in trouble. I think I should say that there are venial sins.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you know what venial sins? I don't know this. I did not look this up. Mm-hmm. What are our venial sins, Jen?
Is there an actual list of venial sins?
Well, okay, so I have a thing in the National Review. This is from Merriam-Webster. And it was interesting. So the distinction between white lies and perjury.
That's what I was going to say is that venial was like a white lie.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't know anything about that. I got the word, didn't know it. So I learned something from the bee this week. Very exciting.
I learned something from the bee this week, too.
What?
Beanball.
Oh, how do you not know about beanball?
Has that been in there before? I feel like it's been in there before and I didn't know it before, too. I mean, so I got the word. I like, didn't really know what it was.
Well, beanball is like in old-timey stories. That's what I think of,
what?
Right?
No, beanball is when you like throw a ball at the batter.
What? You bean somebody? I thought beanball was like an old-timey, like when you played with like a stick. Like it's not really baseball. It's beanball.
Beanball, Merriam-Webster, a pitch thrown at a batter's head.
To bean somebody.
You bean somebody with a ball.
Oh, especially intentionally.
Yeah.
Now, it's both informal and specialized. Why does he count it?
Because he likes baseball. This we know about Sam.
That's interesting. You know, I totally thought beanball was like stickball back in the day. So now you see what I know.
I like that.
Yeah. Anything else we have to talk about this week, Jen?
Yeah. There was a word on Thursday 12/14 that I'm sure that you knew and I got, but I didn't actually know what it was. And that was dolma, because it's a food word.
Yeah. Yummy. You should even like them. It's rice.
But it's like wrapped in stuff.
Grape leaf. That's it.
Yeah.
It's so like, it's so easy to eat.
And I believe that I've eaten it before.
Especially in Greece. But anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Did we eat them in Greece?
Yes, totally.
Probably. I was upset, though, that dolman was not included.
What's dolman?
Dolman sleeves. It's like a kind of a sleeve on clothing. Oh. And it is.
Normal people don't know that.
No, people know that. Anybody that has like ever bought a top knows that.
I bought a top. I do not know that.
Anybody and I that's ever bought non-leisure, a non-leisure wear top.
Dollars that nobody in my family knows that.
A dolman sleeve.
What does a dolman sleeve look like, Jennifer?
It's like a big sleeve.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Jen, I know you think it's your inalienable right to talk about the week in bees forever.
Isn't it?
But we have some other things to cover this show.
Like maybe a deep dive?
Yes, like a deep dive. All so right. Let's get to it. The word of the week.
This is the part of the show where we take a closer look at one word from the previous week's puzzles. One of us selects a word, finds out about it, and gifts our newfound knowledge. See, what word present do you have for me and our listeners today?
Man, you could not have teed it up for me better. It's Christmas, presents. Of course, I got to talk about the Magi.
Yeah.
So as you already pointed out, our holiday word was in there this week, Magi.
Mm-hmm.
Magi are members of a hereditary priestly class among the ancient Medes and Persians.
Mm-hmm.
It's often capitalized to mean the traditional three wise men from the East paying homage to the infant Jesus, right?
As three kings of glory.
And then its secondary definition is just kind of more generic. So magicians, sorcerers.
Mm-hmm.
And the second definition is how it's generally used in news or print now, basically calling somebody a wizard.
Yeah. Okay?
But it's a super old word dating back to the 13th century.
Mm-hmm.
It's from the Latin magi, from the Greek magos. And it's also the root of a word that was not familiar to me, but is apparently very familiar to gamers, mage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so mage is an archaic word for, you know, a sorcerer. And now I guess it's very popular in fantasy games.
I was going to say, I know mage from Dungeons and Dragons.
Ah, okay. So same root. It's also the same root as magician.
Yeah.
Now, what also I like with this is that the magi is one of a handful of words that we almost always say in the plural. So the singular form is magus, M-A-G-U-S, rhymes with Vegas. So if we're talking about the three wise men, right? Mm-hmm. One magus brought gold, one magus brought frankincense, and one magus brought myrrh.
Mm-hmm.
So you are thinking, of course, what other words do we tend to say in plural? But are actually
horse feathers is it.
Okay. So think of other words that end in I normally.
Okay.
Okay. Like graffiti.
Yeah.
Right? So graffito. Do you know it's singular?
Yes, graffito.
Exactly, right? Mm-hmm. One graffito that we're interested in. And that comes from Italian, meaning incised inscription. Can you think of another word that's kind of like that? Also Italian-y kind of word that ends in I?
Ravioli.
Is there a raviolo in English? Maybe there is.
I don't know.
Oh, there could be. Yeah. I was thinking of paparazzi.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Paparazzo. But you can have a paparazzo, right?
Oh, and panini, right? I complained about that on the show before. Yeah. Panini. Mm-hmm.
There's also a couple of weird ones. One that I like. This is all from Merriam-Webster, by the way. So they always have like the weird, did you know? And then I love those and have to use them. So one of them is candelabra.
Ooh.
Now, do you know what a candelabra is?
It's one of those candle holders with like multiple candle things on it.
Yes, that is the definition of candelabra. But apparently, candelabrum is the original Latin singular, and it's still available for use, which makes no sense to me because a candelabra is multiple.
Right.
Eight is multiple. So I don't understand.
So when would you use candelabrum?
I don't know. And then they don't even have a definition for it.
What?
Right. Which doesn't make sense. Right?
Yeah.
And then here's the best one, I think.
Yeah.
So media. Media is plural.
Yes. Medium.
Yes. Medium. Yeah. That's your local newspaper is actually a medium. Because it's one of the media. I think that's so weird. Though, honestly, media is also used as singular noun.
Yes, it is.
Now. And medias is used as a plural noun. Well, so medium is not really ever used. But I thought that was really interesting.
Well, that is not true if you are studying art history, where we often talk about medium and media.
Okay. But you can say medias in plural to refer to members of the mass media.
Oh, interesting. I've never heard that usage.
Well,
actually,
you can argue with Merriam-Webster. So that is my Christmas deep dive for you, Jen.
Can you say gift eye?
Gift eye? Sure. Would you like some gift eye, Jen eye?
See, that was really great. It was a great gift eye. I think you could be Santa, only younger and fitter.
I am very jolly. And I'm about to be even jollier because the next segment always makes me happy. It's Unbelievable Words.
Unbelievable Words is a chance to introduce new words to the show that we picked up in places other than the bee. Much like the holiday season, it is a celebration full of light and miracles.
No, it's not, Jen.
Bah humbug.
Seriously, Jen, you're going to be mad that I corrected your overpromise of light and miracles?
No, bah humbug is my word.
It's actually two words and it's not new.
I know, but it's two words that are new to my six-year-old niece, Vivian, and she made me promise that I would talk about bah humbug on the show. I don't want her to call me a Scrooge.
I
looked bah humbug up, I didn't actually know what humbug meant.
Oh, tell us. So what's a humbug?
The phrase bah humbug was invented by Charles Dickens.
Okay.
In A Christmas Carol.
Sure.
Like, it wasn't really a phrase before then. And Ebenezer Scrooge said bah humbug and then spread from there. So bah is just like an expression of contempt. Bah, 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 right? And he's cranky, so he says bah.
Sure.
Humbug is a word that has several definitions. One definition is that it's something that is designed to deceive or mislead.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be a willfully false, deceptive, or insincere person. He's just an old humbug. Or it can be nonsense or drivel. So that is the sense that it's used in bah humbug is like bah, rubbish, nonsense.
Hmm.
So when they said Merry Christmas, he was like, Christmas is nonsense. Blah, bah humbug.
Okay.
And that's
cool.
What humbug means.
I like it. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Vivian.
Yeah. All right. Since you went to bah humbug, I think I have to do a Christmas word too. It's not really a Christmas word. It's a winter word.
Okay.
Hogmadog.
What?
Hogmadog. 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 Hogmadog.
Hogmadog.
Go tell Vivian this and see what she's more excited about.
Okay.
Hogmadog is a large ball of snow made by rolling a smaller ball of snow around a field until it grows its size. Often used as the body of a snowman or a lethally large snowball for folks you don't like.
That is I love that word.
Yes, I got this from a random, like, you know, weird Christmas word website, but it's also in the Telegraph under 21 obscure Christmas words you've never heard of.
So is it British? Is it like a chiefly British word?
That's a great question.
I honestly
don't know much about it, and I don't know how many people agree that it's a word, but I found it in two sources and I'm going with it.
It's not in Merriam-Webster. Wait, it's H-O-G.
Neither is bah humbug.
But humbug is H-O-G-M-A-D-O-G. Like a hog and a dog with an ah in between.
No, with a ma in between.
I mean with a ma in between.
Okay, yep, not you'll find the same list I found.
In Collins.
No, it's not going to be in that. These are Christmas words.
Well, Christmas words could be.
Jen, I found it in two things and it's going.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep fact checking that one. But anybody that wants to call it a Hogmadog can.
Jen, just let me get a little wild with my Hogmadog.
I always let you get a little bit wild.
Like in the.
Like now.
Wild card. This is the wild card portion of the show when anything goes and everything is on the table.
Today, we have a special guest at the table. My dad.
Woo! Jen, do you want to tell everybody a little bit about your dad before we get started?
Well, he's my dad. Isn't that the most important thing?
Highly debatable.
Okay. Listeners, my dad, the Dr. Reverend James R. Hallam, has been committed to a life of service for nearly 60 years as a United Methodist minister, a dean of students, a professor, and most recently, a township supervisor. He holds a DMin, an MDiv, and an MS in education, and a BS in everything else.
Ah!
He's an Eagle Scout, a Big Tipper, and an almost octogenarian. He's also the author of Human Gifts, Giving to Transform Ourselves, Others, and the World. Dad, welcome to your inaugural appearance on Tom, Tit, and Baobab.
This is a real opportunity and a real privilege to be here with you.
We're so happy to have you.
Did that sound serious?
Yes, it did. I'm very excited.
So, Dad, I think the most obvious first question for us to ask you is whether you do the New York Times Spelling Bee.
I do not.
Have you seen the New York Times Spelling Bee?
I have heard of it, but I have not seen it.
Oh, Jen, you're like...
Why do we have this guy on our show?
Why didn't you, like, show him the bee at some point? What kind of daughter are you?
He never asked. All right, so we know that you haven't done the bee. It's a word game.
I know that. I'm familiar with the concept.
Are you familiar with the podcast, Jim? Have you heard this before?
To be frank with you... I'm not a very good participant here because I've heard it once, yes.
Once means you heard it. That works. Okay.
But you like words, right?
I love words. I think words are very significant to the human engagement of people. I think you can express an awful lot through words and that words have power.
Do you have any favorite words, Jim?
I don't know whether I disclose my favorite word because it might be crossed off somehow. No. My favorite word, frankly, is love in the context of relationships, because I think what life is ultimately all about, which brings deep meaning, is relationships.
My dad's so much nicer than me.
What? I think what you mean is he's so much deeper than you, Jennifer.
For a nicer and wider. He got serious right away. Do you know this is not a serious podcast?
Well, you asked me a serious question.
I thought that was very nice.
You asked me a serious question. Yeah. I respond with a serious answer.
It was a very nice answer, especially for our holiday episode that should be all about love and joy.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Peace and Thanksgiving.
Yes.
All those good words.
So I mentioned to Cecilia that when I was growing up, you used to do the word tests in the Reader's Digest.
Yes.
Do you still do that?
No, I don't get the Reader's Digest anymore.
What kind of word tests did they have?
I think it was just definitions. They would give you a word and you had to find the definition to the word that was correct.
Okay, that makes sense.
It was an effort to extend your vocabulary and make you a more sophisticated person.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now let's ask my dad if it worked.
Well, I don't know.
Well, apparently you didn't do it, Jen.
I like to learn new words. In fact, if I'm reading a book or something and I don't know the word, lots of times if I have a dictionary close by, I'll look at it or I write it down and then I check it out. I can Google it sometimes, but I like to be able to genuinely be able to expand my vocabulary because I think it's important in terms of being able to express yourself.
Agreed.
My dad is a voracious reader. That is true.
I do like to
read. Yes, I've been to your house at the beach and there are books everywhere.
Yeah, well, you should come to my study at home. There are books everywhere. Would you like some?
I should do a giveaway of my dad's books.
I like it.
I'm trying to get rid of some of my books and, you know, they keep multiplying still the same.
That's what happens, I know.
Listeners, if you would like one of my dad's books, write to us at tomtitandbaobab@gmail.com and we'll send you one.
What's your favorite kind of stuff to read, Jim?
Well, It depends what kind of mood I'm in and what my schedule shows for the coming week. I obviously do a lot of reading in preparation for the courses that I teach, which are in the area of theology and the Bible and religions of the world.
So you're still teaching?
I am.
Wow, that's crazy. I thought you were retired.
I am. I'm involved with teaching at a church, and I have taught various things. The last study was on comparative religion. And I also enjoy, you know, reading mindless stuff.
Yeah? Like what? What's your favorite?
Like Daniel Steele.
I love it. A good romance. Back to relationships.
I was actually going to bring up Danielle Steele to tease my dad, and he brought it up himself.
Yeah, you don't have to feel bad about what you read.
I think it's good.
I do own it because it's mindless stuff, and I enjoy the romance involved in it, just like I like watching Hallmark films.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
This is true. Speaking of words that start with H-A-L-L, Hallmark.
Yes.
Hallam. That's yes. Our name.
Really?
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you about Hallamisms.
Hallamisms.
Is that a word that's familiar to you?
Yeah, Hallamism is a word familiar with me because I used to have students after I gave a talk, after I say a word, they would refer to it as a Hallamism, meaning that it was not in the dictionary. Somehow I had created it as a word.
Do you have any examples?
I can't think of one right now. Sorry. Maybe it'll pop in my head.
Or maybe it'll pop out of your mouth.
It might. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So my dad does have a history of making up words, and he would do it during sermons too.
I would.
Right.
Not being aware of it, but using the word as if it were an actual functioning, you know, word in the English language.
I think that's the beauty of the English language.
That you can make up words?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So whatever I said was legit.
Yes.
Thank you very much. That liberated me significantly.
Your dad was TikToking before TikTok was cool.
Yes. Exactly.
Cecilia accused you recently of not believing in God on this show. I think that that's the episode that you listened to.
That is the episode I listened to with a great deal of chagrin.
Jim's trying to get me in trouble. You realize I would have gotten this from your daughter, Jim.
You realize that, you know, God is just a word, right? Whereby right. I try to refer to the mystery that is of the universe, and we have to give it a word, so people use God. But where I am now is I really conceive of the ultimate, if you will, as energy, and that somehow there was an energy that set the whole universe into a process, and that we are part of that energy, as every human being is part of that energy. And that energy can be shared with other people via positive thoughts and kind deeds. And that ultimately, when the journey is done, we return to the energy, the source.
Dad, I wanted to ask you, but you kind of already said it about, because, you know, John chapter 1, verse 1. Do you know what it is?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Oh, well, you're good.
Well,
he's an expert, Jen. He's a God expert.
So is that true? Is God the Word? Or is Greece the Word?
Well, you have to kind of define word. What does word mean? Is that just verbalization? Or is the word, is that word used to express some creative power? In the beginning was the word, that is the truth, the actual reality. Pregnant pause.
I also thought that you might talk a little bit about another biblical concept.
What's that?
The apocalypse.
What about the apocalypse? Meaning the false teachings?
Well, like end times.
The end time.
Jen wants to tell you that we're in end times. Well, that's all.
The reality is none of us can anticipate what the end time will be. The reality is the way the human family is going, we could kind of explode things at a given moment and would end life as we experience it. But generally, the end time to me is like people refer to like Jesus coming back again. And I don't think that's the way I look at things. The way I look at things is that for the Christian, for instance, the reality of Jesus coming back is when Jesus becomes significant to a human being in terms of a human being trying to model the teachings and life of Jesus, that is the end being brought into contemporary situation.
The reason that I asked you about this, Dad, is because Cecilia and I were looking at a really interesting word end times related article the other day, which was from the New Yorker. And this guy had posted a question online about what should we call the times that we're currently living in? Like, you know, there's the Age of Enlightenment or the quote unquote Dark Ages or the Renaissance. And so he put out there, he was like, what should we call the current time, which we talk a lot on this show about how it feels like the world is about to end, right?
Except for when we're talking about, you know, singing Christmas songs or something. But go ahead, yes. Jen is trying to bum you out, but go ahead.
So some of the terms that they came up, that people came up with to describe our current age, the terrible 20s, the assholescence.
That was pretty good.
The age of emergency, the omnishambles, the new dark age, and the age of unhingement. I thought you might have some ideas about what we should call our current age.
You know, it's certainly an age of complexity. And, you know, because of all the, let's just take the Middle East as being a perfect example of that, or, you know, the Ukraine being another perfect example of that, or the whole challenge we have in our own country with a guy who is an ego-centered individual who's suffering from a little paranoia.
Now, am I wrong, though, Jim? You're pretty hopeful and optimistic. Isn't that true?
Am I pretty optimistic?
Yeah, am I wrong?
Generally, yeah, I'm optimistic from the perspective that if somehow we can engage peoples of the world in conversation and dialogue, that there's some hope. But the moment that we become isolationistic and exclusive in terms of our perceptions and living, that's the moment we create more hatred, more resentment, more anger, more death, more war.
I think we just got a Hallamism out of that.
I was wondering that too. Yeah.
What was the Hallamism?
It was individualistic.
Isolationistic. Yeah.
Oh, I think that's correct. It probably is.
But it worked.
You like that word, though?
Yeah. I do. It's a good word. I would count it in the spelling book.
Okay.
So your book, Human Gifts, is a pretty optimistic book.
It's optimistic from the perspective that we take seriously the reality that all of us have within us a dark, what the Jewish people call the dark side and the light side, or
Star Wars fans call it that.
Yeah, yeah. But if in fact we operate from our best proclivities, if we operate trying to make real that which we can give as gifts to each other, that is not materialistic things. We're talking more things about listening and empathy and compassion and acceptance. Those kinds of things are within all of us, I think. We all have those capacities within. And if we are able to express those capacities to each other and live life that way, then I think the world can be a better place. I was just talking to a person at lunch today who indicated that as a child, she never really felt accepted by her parents. And, you know, I even had a struggle with that when I was growing up, because the issue was my mother always wanted me to be the best. And never once did I hear her say to me, Jimmy, I love you just because you are.
Hmm.
If I brought home grades, she always won all A's.
Right.
And I remember one report card I shared with her, I had a B, and her comment to me was, Jimmy, you know I like all A's. Well, I wasn't affirmed because of my personhood. I was being affirmed because of my accomplishments.
That's kind of like when we do the B and we get to like genius and queen B. I think Sam maybe should just put up a message that says, I love you no matter how you do. What do you think, Steve?
I love you just because you are.
I don't know that I need love from Sam.
I love you because you be.
Because you be. There you go. That makes sense. Because you be.
You should definitely put that out there. Yes.
Very good.
So what made you decide to write this book, and when did you write this book? And I didn't even know this book existed. Your daughter is a horrible promoter until she told me about it like 2 days ago.
The way I was inspired to write this book was I was taking a shower.
Oh, the best way to get inspired.
I posted about that on social media.
Yeah, a lot of things come to me in the shower.
Me too.
And this idea popped into my head because I was planning to write another book, which I put aside in order to write this particular effort. So.
And so why now? When did this come out? And was this a response to something specific? Like, was it a response to 2020 or that kind of stuff?
The Age of Monstrosity?
No. Right. It wasn't an effort to look at the end and then kind of take a step back and see what can we do with what we got now. I'm a great advocate of human potential.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the challenge for every human being from my perspective, to be the best human being you can possibly be. And part of being a good, positive human being is being aware of those gifts that are innate at birth. And we have a choice to make as to whether we utilize those gifts. Now, I'm not talking about talents such as being able to sing or play the piano or whatever.
Getting Queen Bee.
Yeah. And what I'm talking about is those innate gifts that we have that are given, that if we are able to utilize them, can make a difference in the transformation of individual lives. Can make a difference in communities and ultimately in the world.
But this sounds lovely. And it sounds like, as Jen said, like a lovely idea for right now, right? When, yeah, there is some stress and people are talking about this being kind of a upsetting time, but it's the holidays and we want to think of positive things and positive things we can do. Yeah.
Right. The message of this book needs to be heard in terms of the crises and challenges of our current day.
Yeah. Yeah.
That if people can really learn to be present to each other, hear each other, be concerned about each other, show compassion for all people, that's the message that needs to be heard. That'll hopefully be able to overcome some of the separation of people and will really help people to think how important it is to treat each other with dignity.
Awesome.
Dad, do you have anything else you want to say to us?
If this is the last show of the old year,
yeah,
I would hope that everyone will have a very special, meaningful holiday filled with lots of warmth and love and laughter, and that the new year might be characterized by cultivation of the human gifts, and also that it might lead to one's becoming as an individual, and in such a way will make an impact upon the lives of others in a way that produces peace and love and justice in the world.
Those are all good words.
Lovely. Thank you.
Good seeing you.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Bye.
Listeners, if you'd like to give the gift of human gifts for the holidays, you can find my dad's book along with the supplemental workbook on Amazon in hardback, paperback, Kindle, and audio versions. You can also follow Human Gifts on Facebook.
And that's a wrap on the episode and this season of Tom Ditton Baobab.
Thanks for being with us this episode and throughout the season. We'll be back with season 5 in February 2024.
In the meantime, be in touch. You can find us on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. You can also email us at TomTittenBaobab@gmail.com.
We want to know all about the bees you like, bees you hate, words you missed, and words you'd like to know about.
We also want to know what you want to hear next season. So send us your thoughts and ideas.
Subscribe or follow us wherever you listen to your podcasts, and you'll be among the first to know when we're back from winter break.
And of course, if you'd like to give us some holiday cheer, leave a rating or review. This helps other word nerds and puzzle lovers find us.
Happy holidays to all of you who celebrate.
And warm winter wishes to all.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Tim, this one's for you. For my 12th Christmas pangram, Sam with help from me. 12 soups cangealing,
11 clicks and clanning,
enzymes and selling,
selling commuters,
Clorox wipes a cleaning,
Americans
a canceling,
Canadians
a canceling in
elegance.
Angelica to munch on. down and
Alec harps the strum on
two arms of blazing and allegiance to the queen.